habits. We're talking about habits today. And hopefully we'll learn to get some good ones. Amen? All right. Talk about habits. Now, you know, all of us have habits. And they, you know, habits themselves provide order to life, allows us to have security in life. It helps us to kind of do the things day in and day out. And the most habits are usually connected to things that we do every day. So, for instance, like, you know, our process of waking up or eating or working or school or sleeping, you know, or whatever. You know, habits, we build habits attached to those things because it provides order and consistency to our life and so on. And it's a good thing. Habits are fine. In fact, let me go over what I call my morning ritual, okay, because I'm a creature of habit. That's what Stacy tells me, which is usually when she says that, it's not usually a good thing. But this is my morning ritual. You know, I get up, usually get up somewhere between 6:30 and 7, go down to the kitchen, prepare hot water for my 2 cups of coffee that I'm going to have. I take out the garbage, okay, which is I've gotten into the habit of doing. Then I feed the cats and pat them for a few minutes. Then I get the newspaper outside, bring that in, then go out to feed the wild birds that we have outside, which is in cages. Then I actually make my cup of coffee, the first one. Then I read the paper. Then I eat a little something while I'm reading the paper, and especially have my second cup of coffee. Then I have my quiet time with the Lord. Then I usually go to the restroom and then the shower. And that usually takes 2 hours, okay? That's what I call my morning ritual. And I've done that for a long time, even long before I came into the ministry. When I was working in the world, it was the same thing. It was slightly different, the ritual, because I had to get ready to go out to work. But I had a very systematic thing that I did every morning. And that was just that's just the way it works. And then what happens is this, is that the older that we get, the more of our lives are habitual. And actually, the habits become more ingrained as the older that we get. That's just the way it goes through the course of life. You know, habits are absolutely necessary for existence. But once they're formed, they're very hard to break, I think, as we all realize that. And the problem is this. I think this is what really happens. Now, I'm not a psychologist, nor am I a scientist. But I think what happens is that when we do something over and over again, something gets actually implanted into our brain. In other words, there's some kind of a brain mechanism, like a memory chip or something, you could say, that gets planted in our brain that allows us to almost go on autopilot when we have a habit. And because of all those things that I just went through, which I'm sure we all have to some extent in our own lives, you don't sit there and think, okay, I've got to wake up, okay, how do I make the hot water? I mean, we just do it. It's just the way we do it. And so what happens is something, I believe, actually occurs in the brain that allows us to kind of just function along that way. Now, do you know that the scriptures talk about habits? And let's look at what it talks about. So turn with me to Psalm 5. Psalm 5. Lack of light being up here is making it a little harder for me to see. Or I'm getting older. Psalm 5, verse 1 says this. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my sighing. Listen to my cry for help, my King and my God, for to you I pray. Now look what it says. In the morning, O Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my requests before you and wait in expectation. There's a habit. Every morning, the king, King David, is up, and he's praying before the Lord. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 in the New Testament. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And we want to look particularly at verses 17 and then 18. But 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 17 and then 18. It says in 17, to pray continually. That's a habit. And then in 18, it says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in the Messiah Yeshua. That's also a habit, to give thanks in all things. The first thing that we mentioned about a habit was David's experience. This was his experience that he was relating. The second and third things that we mentioned, which was to pray continually and to give thanks in all things, are actually commandments from the scriptures that we're to do. And in reality, what the Lord is encouraging us to do is to make these things habits in our lives. God encourages us and commands us, and the question is why? Why would the Lord command and encourage these particular habits in our lives? And I believe this is the reason why. The older that we get, the more experiences that we've had throughout life. And what ends up happening is that every new experience that arises in our lives is usually related to some other experience that we've had. And so we react according to past habits and patterns and past experiences. That's how we react to any given situation. And so what ends up happening is that the habits that we have in relating to people or in relating to circumstances become a natural part of the way we operate throughout life. And the difficulty is if the habits and the patterns that we formed are apart and contrary to the things of the Lord, they become entrenched in our lives, and then it's harder for us to change. Because if we have a way of dealing with others that is ungodly, that may have been formed early in our childhood, and that's our habit and pattern, it's very difficult to break that habit and pattern, no matter how much that we ask the Lord. I wonder how many of us are here, and I'm not going to ask anybody to raise hands, but we've noticed things in our lives that we know are not pleasant. We know there's things that are wrong that are based on habits and patterns, and we've asked the Lord to change it, but we can't seem to get a breakthrough, right? It just kind of keeps going on and on. I want to give you an example of what I mean by this. I want to talk about, just as an example, the habit of complaining or kvetching, okay? This is the habit that many people fall into. In fact, to some degree, all of us fall into. Now, first of all, do you realize that complaining or kvetching is a sin? In fact, the scripture says that the Israelites who were guilty of complaining were brought under tremendous judgment because of that. It was a very severe sin unto the Lord, and they were judged accordingly in the wilderness. And most of us fall into these habits without thought. It's not like we think, oh, I'm gonna be ugly and nasty by complaining about everything. That's not what we think. Something happens and we just complain about it. We kind of kvetch about the situation. But the problem is this, is it's not according to the Lord. And what do we kvetch about? Well, we kvetch about how other people act, right? Or it could be about our jobs or our lack of money or the heat outside. That's a good thing to be kvetching about lately, right? Or other people's shortcomings or our health. I mean, there's a lot of things that we fall prey into when we start complaining and kvetching. And you know what kvetching really is? It's a form of gross selfishness. That's what it really is. That's how God looks at complaining and kvetching. And the more that we do it, the more ingrained it becomes, and the more ingrained the selfishness becomes into our lives. And we begin to live contrary to the things of the Lord. I think we've all seen in the movies or on television, you see the kind of what we call the example or the epitome of an elderly person. And that, what is that person doing? They're kvetching and complaining. They're complaining about their health. They're complaining about whatever the situation might be. That's just the way it is. And the question is, do we really want to become that as we get older? Is that the kind of life, is that what we want to be known for? When your relatives are visiting you in the nursing home or in a or visiting you in a home, in an adult home or an apartment or something like that, do you want it to be that they come in and all they do is they talk about, well, he just complains all the time? Is that the way it's supposed to be? Well, we know that's not what the Lord has for our lives. There's a lot more to it. And here's the good news now, because with bad news, there's always good news. Here's the good news, is that when we receive the Messiah into our life, then what happens is we have a new nature that comes into us. And that new nature wants to please the Lord. And what occurs is, as we alter habits or we begin to form good habits, it strengthens our new nature so that rather than becoming a complaining, kind of an old codger type of person, we become a person that's full of joy, full of peace. We become a person who's content and love, and others are attracted to you rather than repelled from you. You see, the older that we get, we should be drawing closer to the Lord, becoming more like him, not being further away from him. It doesn't mean that the older we get, the more sinful we become. It should be the other way around. And yet what happens is if we don't break certain habit patterns in our lives, that are developing ungodly traits, you know what's going to happen? You're going to become like the very person that you hate, that you see around about you. That's what's going to happen unless something changes in your life, unless good habits are built in. Now, I'm not going to ask you this, but I want to talk about, I'm not going to ask for a public display, but I am going to talk about forming certain good habits that are important that I think can change our lives. If we form these habits, they can change our lives and make us into the person that God wants us to be and break out of the old way. And what I'm not going to ask, and this is what I, first one I want to talk about is the habit of spending a part of each day alone with God, reading His Word and praying. That's called the quiet time. Now, I'm not going to ask here, because I don't want to embarrass anybody, how many people actually do this every single day. But you know, the Scripture says, and what we read in the book of Psalms, that King David did it every day. Every morning he sat before the Lord and waited upon God and prayed and so on. You know, let's look at a passage of Scripture here, Psalm 119. Psalm 119. Let's look at the advantage of this. You know, it's interesting, in Jewish tradition, turn with me to Psalm 119, verse 97. Psalm 119, verse 97. In Jewish tradition, there is a morning prayer process that's called Shacharit, which is where Jewish men come and they pray in the synagogue every single day, and they have a prayer book where they pray and they pray out these prayers and so on. You know, and sometimes we might make fun of that. Oh, they're just praying old liturgical prayers. But you know what? Every day they're spending time with God. How much more those of us who know Yeshua the Messiah, and whether or not we do a Shacharit or not doesn't matter, but the point is, those of us who know Yeshua the Messiah should certainly be spending time daily with the Lord and hearing from God. You see? Psalm 119, verse 97. Let's see what it says. Oh, how I love your law. I meditate on it all day long. Your commands make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more insight than all my teachers, for I meditate on your statutes. I have more understanding than the elders, for I obey your precepts. I have kept my feet from every evil path so that I might obey your word. I have not departed from your laws, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. I gain understanding from your precepts. Therefore, I hate every wrong path. You see, what is he talking about? He's talking about studying and reading God's word on a continual, constant basis. And you know what happens when we do that? The promises of God begin to change us. The words themselves change us and they transform us. It gives us life. It provides prosperity. It gives us fulfillment in our lives. God's word changes us. And you know what? We should have a challenge of reading through this book every single year. I'm serious. There should be a challenge to read through the Scriptures every single year and say, how can I do that? You know what it takes? It takes reading about 5 chapters every day. That's what it'll do. You'll get through the Bible in 1 year if you read 5 chapters every day. You say, 5 chapters? It's easy for you to do it. You're a rabbi. You're supposed to do it. You know what? I did it when I was a lawyer. I did it when I was a student in college and in law school. I've done it ever since I was a believer, ever since I came to know Yeshua. Because I was trained by those who discipled me that I needed to spend this time with God every single day reading His Word. And consequently, I know His Word now fairly well after 30 plus years, however long it's been, I don't know, 30 some odd years. And so it's a challenge. So it's not that hard, you know. And you say, it's so hard to stop. I'm so busy and so forth. Well, we're going to get to that in a minute. But let's talk about prayer. Let's talk about what it means, because it's reading the Word in prayer every single day. Why do we pray? We pray to seek God, to thank Him, to ask for direction, to pray for others. We pray to hear from the Lord. We should be desperate to hear from God every day to be able to provide direction for our life. And my challenge is this to you. Do it in the morning like King David did it. Spend time with the Lord. And then you know what happens? The whole direction of your life can change and it will become a habit in your life. You know, if you're not doing it, it's hard to begin. It's always hard to begin a habit because to begin a habit, you have to break a habit. So you understand what I'm saying? It's not like we have voids in our lives where there's nothing taking up any of our time. No, rather what it is, we're doing something and we need to break in to bring in the Lord. And so what that means is starting a habit. Here's my challenge to you. My challenge to you is do it for 30 days. Commit. If you're not doing it every day right now, commit 15 minutes or a half an hour. Get through 5 chapters, at least need a half an hour. A half an hour every day to commit it to the Lord. You do it for 30 days. You know what happens? It becomes a habit. And you know what happens after that? Your life begins to change. It becomes normal. It's not like I have to fit it in. Now it kind of flows from within. That's the way. That is a good habit, and that will change your life. Another habit I want to talk about is praying continually. That's what Paul says is a commandment from the Scriptures. It's to pray continually. What does that mean? It doesn't mean that, you know, we're always, every second, praying and everything else. I don't believe that's what it means. But it means praying in every opportunity that we have. For instance, when we're gathering with other people, for anything that's remotely serious, we need to learn to turn to the Lord and pray. It means that when our families gather together and talk about anything that's going on in the families of anything serious, we need to pray and ask, turn to the Lord. When our neighbor comes over to us and says, I'm struggling, I'm going through whatever, then we need to learn to pray with them, with the neighbor, so they introduce the neighbor to what it means to pray to the Lord. The same thing with coworkers, as they confide in you. You say, can we just pray? Let's just pray for a minute. Members of the congregation, when they get together, and they're talking about things of serious nature. Because we can just do a lot of talking, but not a whole lot of praying. And so sometimes it's just stop and let's say, let's just pray. Let's just ask the Lord. And as you're going through the day, you think of things that are on your heart. You turn to the Lord and you begin to pray. That's what I mean by praying continually. And you know what happens when you pray? What does prayer mean? It means inviting God into the opportunity in which you're discussing or which is of importance to you. And you know what happens when you invite God in? It changes things. It changes the world. It changes your life. It changes whatever is going on. Prayer always changes things. But we got to situate our prayers into it, and it has to become a habit. It can become awkward at first, you know, especially around people who aren't used to prayer or so on. And if somebody comes up and they say, I've got such a problem, and say, let's pray. It's awkward. They're not sure what they're going to say or what you're even going to say and so forth. It doesn't matter. The goal is when the opportunities arise, is to pray. Invite the Lord into the situation. It becomes a habit in your life. And you know what happens is? It alters your life, and it alters the lives of people around you. That's what it is. And you know what? It's not an intrusive way of being able to express our faith. A lot of times people always say, well, I don't know how to share my faith with another person. You know, I feel like I'm imposing my views on another person. But if somebody comes to you and is sharing a problem with you, you're not imposing anything. You're just praying with. Let's turn to the Lord and let's pray. The third thing is what I call the habit of regular fellowship and worship. You know, what was once a habit for society is no longer a habit any longer. Society has become increasingly secular and busy. And it's very true within the Jewish community, which is highly educated, successful, and they're very busy and they're very secular. And so there's the consistent attendance in synagogues is paltry. And any rabbi would tell you the same thing. It's also true to a lesser extent in the church world, but it's also true there as well. Until the 1970s, especially in Virginia, some of the southern states, there were blue laws that didn't allow anything to happen on Sundays except going to church. That was the only thing that was really open. It forced people to go to church. Now, of course, after the 1970s, the blue laws got eliminated. And now Sundays and Saturdays are like any other day of the week and so forth. And so it creates pressure. You know, it used to be until the 1970s that most employers gave the days off for Saturday and Sunday. They worked 5 days a week. Now, it's not only 7 days a week that most employers are open, but a lot of factories are running 24 hours a day. And that's just the way it is. And so there's no consistent breaks like there were that would cause people to be able to go to synagogue or church or whatever. And then in addition to that, there's massive amounts of distractions and opportunities, recreational opportunities for children, recreational opportunities for ourselves, pressure and so forth. And so it's so easy to not have the habit of regular attendance and regular worship. It's difficult to commit time to regular fellowship and worship. But once the habit exists, it becomes a natural thing. And you know what? Rather than trying to fit in the Lord and fit in time with God, what it should be is our week should flow out of the Shabbat meeting, out of the Shabbat experience. Because this is where we're strengthened. This is where we are able to deal with the rest of the week. And this is the way our focus should be. Rather than trying to fit it in, it should just flow naturally out. And it helps to regulate our life and our time that we have when we put the Lord first and we do these kinds of things in a habitual thing. It's hard to begin, but once it's begun, It's a huge blessing. And what happens to so many people, and I've seen this in our own congregation, a person will stop coming for a few weeks, even for a month, and then all of a sudden, you know what happens? They stop coming, they start getting disaffected with the congregation. They start feeling like people don't really care. You know what's really happened? Is they have stopped coming, they've stopped putting the Lord first in this area of their life, and the enemy has gotten in and caused them to start going astray and to feel those particular ways. And that's what ends up happening. Now, the last topic I want to cover here, which is probably the most important part of this about habits, is breaking bad habits with good habits. Okay, breaking bad with good. As I said before, most habits are formed in our lives with little thought. Even addictive habits are formed with little thought. What do I mean by addictive habits? Those things like drugs, alcohol, smoking, pornography. These are addictive habits. They're called addictive. Now, most people don't start addictive habits because they want to be addicted to them. You know what I mean? In other words, they don't thinking about being an addict, about being bound to that very thing that they committed themselves. They don't think, they're just thinking, oh, this looks enjoyable, this looks fun, this looks pleasurable, or whatever it is. But the problem, of course, with addictive habits is that you become an addict to them, and you can't break the bond. What happens is when you participate in addictive habits, a chemical process occurs in your brain and in the product and in your brain, and it creates an interaction, and so now you are in bondage. You have a habit that is very difficult to break. But the problem with any sin, especially a habit, is that evil spirits attach themselves to the behavior, and it keeps you even more bound in the habit that you had before. Because evil spirits cannot attack godliness and purity. Evil spirits attack sin. When we get involved in sinful activity or sinful behavior, evil spirits attach themselves to that behavior, and it binds us to that very thing so that we cannot be released and freed. And that makes it even more difficult to break when we fall ourselves into that trap. And if you're in an addictive situation, addictive habit, then you need ministry and you need prayer. It's very difficult to break an addictive habit without the intervention of another person and of the Lord. But I want to focus in conclusion on this breaking this bad habit with good habits. I want to focus again on kvetching, okay? Because kvetching is a bad habit, all right? And for many bad habits, there is a corresponding good habit, okay? I'm going to say that again. For many bad habits, there's actually a corresponding good habit. It's hard to break a bad habit without introducing a new habit, okay? Otherwise, you become, there's a void. In other words, if you have a habit, and you want to break this habit, and suddenly you try to stop doing this habitual thing that you've been doing, but you don't introduce a new habit, then what happens is there's a void here, and you're going to slip back into the old ways unless you introduce a new habit. In fact, there's a very interesting spiritual parallel in the scriptures. Let's look Matthew chapter 12. Matthew 12. Matthew chapter 12, verse 43. Spiritual parallel with habits. Matthew 12, 43. Matthew 12, 43. It says, when an evil spirit comes out of a man, it goes through arid places seeking rest and does not find it. Then it says, I will return to the house that I left. When it arrives, it finds the house unoccupied, swept clean, and put in order. Then it goes and takes with it seven other spirits, more wicked than itself, and they go in and live there, and the final condition of that man is worse than the first. That is how it will be with this wicked generation. Of course, in this particular situation, they're talking about demons, evil spirits, that fill a person, some part of a person's life, their character, their behavior, their body, whatever it might be. The person is delivered from that demon spirit, but because it's not filled up with something from the Lord, or there's a void there, the spirit comes back in and reoccupies the void and makes things even worse than they were before. The same thing is true with bad habits, okay? Is that if we just try to address a bad habit in our life and we don't fill it up with a good habit, what's going to happen is we're just going to slip back into the old way. That's just the way it works. It's a similar spiritual principle here. And we have to replace something bad with good. Now, let's see. Let's talk about the kvetching situation. Let's see how we're supposed to handle this. Let's say you're in the room today, and you know that you have a problem with kvetching, with complaining, okay? And we're separate from this. God convicts you that you have a kvetching problem. So now what do you do? What you do with it is you replace the complaining spirit with the opposite of complaining. And you know what the opposite of complaining is? It's giving thanks, right? It's giving thanks unto the Lord. It's a commandment in the Scripture that we give thanks to the Lord in all things. Let's take an example. Let's say you have a situation where you're at your job and you're being mistreated by your supervisor. It's a constant thing. Or mistreated, you know, by a coworker. And so your natural tendency is to begin to kvetch about that person, you know, to another employee or maybe to your family. You wouldn't believe what that person said to me today, you know, or whatever it is. And you start on and on and on. But the Scripture says that we're not to complain, but we're to give thanks in all things. Let's say this. Let's say give thanks in all things. Give thanks in all things. You see? He didn't say to give thanks when things are just fine or give thanks in good things. It said to give thanks in all things. So how do you give thanks to somebody who's mistreating you? What you do is you give thanks to the Lord for that person. You say, how can I give thanks for that person? That person is nasty and, you know, is mean and says nasty and terrible things to me. Because God created that person. That's a creation of the Lord. Maybe they're acting ungodly. It doesn't matter. Because the Scripture says that we're to give thanks in all things. When we give thanks to the Lord for that person, you know what you're doing by giving thanks to the Lord for that person? You're causing God's destiny to begin to blossom in that person's life. In fact, you know that you're, as a believer, you're kvetching about somebody else. You're preventing God's working in their life because you're in sin. And you're blocking God from working in that person's life by you kvetching and complaining. But if you give thanks to the Lord for that person and you begin to give thanks for the situation, then the Lord has the opportunity to work in you and work in that other person. And you know what happens? Your whole countenance will change. Instead of this kind of, you come into the office and you know you're going to get blitzed by somebody. There's a little tension. There's like a tension in your jaw and your weight. And as soon as you see that person, you know that person doesn't like you. You know that person mistreats you. And so you're just ready. You know, you feel like you're just kind of ready. But then rather than being that way, person comes in and the person just says something nasty to you. And you start to think, oh, and you're ready to talk to somebody else. But then you just turn to the Lord and say, give thanks to that person. I thank you, Lord, for Sally. She's a nasty, you know what. I thank you for. You can be honest with the Lord. But you can still thank him and ask the Lord to bring blessing and so forth. And your whole life can change and that person's life can change. And you know what happens is the more you do that, the more your behavior and the kvetching spirit will stop. If the Lord is convicting you about kvetching, then every time you start to do it, you think, oops, I need to stop. Give thanks to the Lord. You know what happens? Then that becomes normal. Giving thanks to the Lord becomes the habit. That becomes normal. And your life starts to change. Now, here's my challenge to you as we're going to close in prayer right now. What is or what are your bad habits? What things in your life you know they're not good and you haven't been able to do anything about it? Okay? The first thing that we need to do is to be honest with God that we have these areas in our lives that need to get straightened out, come into the light. That's the first step. And then you know what? Then the second step is repenting. And the third step is this, finding the corresponding good habit that can help to break the bad habit. Okay? Find the corresponding good habit. Say, well, where do I find it? Find it in the Word of God. Find it in the Scriptures. There's full of good habits in the Scriptures. Okay? And so what I want to do is we close in prayer. I want us to be honest with the Lord right now. And I want us to be able to say to the Lord that we are going to confess these bad habits and we're going to be committed to breaking these things and to find a corresponding good habit and to be able to be set free from these old nasty habits in our lives that don't ever seem to change and we become a new creature in the Messiah. Let's get it ready to pray. Just leave this to be here. So let's just pray. Father, we just come to you right now in the name of Yeshua. And Lord, Father, all of us have things in our lives that need changing, Lord. And for many of us, Lord, these things are ongoing. It's like we put up with them, Lord. We put up with that behavior. And others have had to accept this behavior. But, Lord, we know you don't accept it because it's sin. And, Lord, we need to stop making excuses. And, Lord, we repent. Lord, we confess about this thing that we're doing, whether it's complaining or just talking about negatively about other people or getting angry all the time or spouting off, Lord, or having problems with lust or other addictive things, Lord. Father, we just confess these things right now, oh God. Father, we want to be free, Lord. We want to be free because the Scripture says that he who the Son has set free shall be free indeed. Lord, we want to be free in Yeshua. We want to be the new creation he's promised us to be, oh God. Father, we confess right now these things before you, Lord. But Father, help us to find a habit that we can replace this bad habit with, Lord. Father, something that every time this thing comes up in us to do whatever, that we're going to find something corresponding in your word to do, so that we are changed into your likeness, Lord God. Father, we, in the name of Yeshua, commit ourselves to this. Commit ourselves to this path, to walk in good habits, in habits that bring glory to your name. Change our lives. Change the lives of others around us. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen. And amen. I'm going to close with the Aaronic benediction. If you need prayer after the service, please feel free to come forward. Also, the bookstore will be open. We have Oneg downstairs. And let's close with the Aaronic benediction. Yivarechach Adonai v'yishmarecha. Yared Adonai panav elecha v'yichunecha. Lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace to the Prince of Peace, Yeshua the Messiah. We all said, Amen. Shabbat Shalom, everyone.